morning. It is just about 12 minutes after 5 o'clock. I'm Bob Surratt, and I was not going to talk about this today, but I decided if I don't get it out of my system, it's going to bother me all day. I had, like, terrible dreams all night involving this job. And so I thought to myself, no, forget it. Don't even talk about it. But then I kept thinking, no, if I don't, it's going to bother me all day. So
radio nightmare. That's what I call them.
I hate that. So you guys will have to be my therapist here and listen to this.
Means it's anxiety.
Yeah, that's what bothers me so much. I was hoping for no anxiety with this job. And it was worse than, you know, your typical, oh, you oversleep or, you know, get a flat tire on the way in. It was worse than that. So, okay, so first I'm on the air, and I don't know what day it is or what the date is. And usually, you know, I just look at my watch, and I say, it's Friday. It's the 28th of February. No problem. But apparently the lights were out in the studio, so I couldn't see my watch. So I ask the people here, well, does anybody know the date? And nobody seems to come up with the answer. Nobody knows the date. Now, Mary, I don't think you were in the dream. Grzanich wasn't in the dream. I don't think Dave Bennett was in the dream either. But the two people who put the show together every day in the control room, Joe and Vivian, they were stars of the dream. And they couldn't come up with the date.
So I heard that woohoo.
I got very aggravated.
So they were help.
These are the people that are always in your ear, right? They're talking to you without...
They talk to me, and they plan the show, and they do all the work.
Now they're in your subconscious.
Apparently. So they don't know the date. Now it gets worse. So now I'm ready to introduce some taped feature that we're going to play, some interview or something that we have recorded, and I forget what it is. So I asked the control room, who is this we're interviewing again that we're going to replay here? And nobody seems to know the answer, or they can't communicate it to me. And I keep yelling, who is it? What are we doing? So then we end up playing this feature anyway. And when it starts, you believe the detail of some of these dreams? And when it starts... It's apparently an interview that Marianne and I had done on the station years ago. I don't know if we actually did this or I just conjured this up, but it was an interview with somebody promoting a golf tournament, and I thought it was really boring. And so it's playing, and then I'm asking the control room personnel, why are we playing this? I didn't say I wanted to play this again.
I hope your mic wasn't on when you said that.
No, I think it was. And then... And if that wasn't enough, in the background of all this, I was having some sort of fight with my wife. I don't know what it was about, but she was mad at me. We were on the outs. This is my night last night. Okay, and now I feel better.
It's okay, there's a lot more to this than just not knowing what the date is.
And I have lots of questions, too. First of all, did everybody have their clothes on? Was that
Everybody was fully clothed. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
And you probably had it right before you woke up. That's why you remember so much about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you were having radio nightmares, anxiety about waking up. And
I got to stop going to bed early because I went to sleep early again. And then I kind of woke up and then went back to sleep. But I think I had the dream very in the last few hours. Yeah,
People always ask me, Bob, too, what did you eat before you went to bed? That's always a question.
Well, that was another
problem.
Like
food sparked it.
You know what? That was another problem. I had what I thought was a very healthy dinner, almost. I had some sushi, which I thought was healthy, with some avocado and some rice. But I also had a piece of pizza.
Oh, that did it. That's
I think
it was
a bad combo.
Yeah.
5:16 right now. I'm fine now, but... If there is a psychiatrist listening, I'm sure you'll spend the entire weekend analyzing my dream. let me know what it all means.
For News at 10, watch WGN. Micah Mater, Joe Donlin, Dan Roan, and Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, Tom Skilling. For TV News at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN.
521, as you heard Mary report, trouble on I-57 this morning. WGN-TV's Nancy Liu is on the scene. What's going on, Nancy?
It is pretty extraordinary, Bob. I've been watching this car that has been smoldering. This crash happened just after 2 o'clock this morning. Illinois State Police telling us that two cars were involved. This is outbound I-57, and somewhere near 130th, 140th, these two cars get in a crash. One car goes flying off 57, landing on the tracks below, bursting into flames and killing that driver. Now, I just spoke with some of the fire crews who just came back to the scene to put out some flames that reignited. This car is so badly damaged, even they can't tell what kind of car it was. It is so badly burned and damaged, and sadly, one person killed in this crash on I-57. So the closures are going to be in place for some time. The diverting traffic outbound up above. Down below on the tracks, I've just learned that these tracks belong to Indiana Harbor Belt. That's a rail line that runs, you know, between Indiana, Illinois, and I believe it's freight that goes back and forth. So these are not metro tracks. These are the harbor belt. So that rail traffic has been stopped because of this wreckage that is on the track. So getting this car off the tracks is going to be the next project after this fire crews are finished dousing some hot spots. This car has been smoldering for, gosh, 2 or 3 hours.
So did I hear right that it may be 2 or 3 more hours before that scene is cleared?
Yeah, about an hour ago, state police were telling us maybe 3 hours. So it's unclear at this point, but up above, I'm actually below I-57 right now. Up above, they've been investigating, you know, what caused these two cars to get involved in a crash in the first place. So I think soon as they wrap that up above on the expressway, then they'll be able to reopen that. So it could be another hour or two.
Okay, and once again, that's outbound I-57 at which streets, Nancy?
It's around 139th, the actual crash, but they're diverting traffic off at 127th. So be aware if you're heading this way.
Will do. Appreciate the update. Nancy Liu on
no
the
problem.
Scene. And you have a good day, Nancy.
You too.
Happy Friday. And, of course, we'll keep you updated on that with our traffic reports. Mary is at the WGN Traffic Center. Mitch is in Atlanta, Georgia this morning, and he's our first caller of the day on the radio. Hi, Mitch.
Hey, how you doing, Bob? Good to talk to you.
You're listening on WGNRadio.com or one of the apps like TuneIn or something?
No, I'm listening to you on the radio and everything.
Oh, you know what?
I'm coming home from work. Listening to you on the radio.
Yeah, I guess I'm talking loud, so that's why you hear us in Georgia this morning. You're already done working. What do you do, Mitch?
I'm a logistics supervisor.
What is that?
I'm just getting off work on my way home.
What kind of logistics do you supervise?
Drivers with trailers and trucks for a major manufacturer that does cereal.
Okay, it sounds like interesting work. And how do you cope with the hours? Sounds like you have some crazy hours.
Well, it's just 2 days on, 2 days off. Kind of reminds me of the fire department. 12 hours, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. You know, we're an hour ahead here and everything. So I'm just getting off, even though it's 5:20 there, 5:25.
Yes,
and,
sir.
It's about 6:25 here, so we're an hour ahead.
All right.
So 2 days on, 2 days off, and then every other weekend off.
I'm trying
to pretty cool.
Trying to see what I can give you that you can use. Oh, I know what you'll get from us for being the first caller. A desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. The 60-Minute Men. Visit AmericanWeathermakers.com. We'll get you that indoor weather station so you know about the Atlanta weather, which is a little warmer than ours here in Chicago.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. But they complain about it's cold right now. It's 35. I'm like, y'all really don't know what cold is. It ain't cold and everything. But I listen to you every morning, Bob. You know, somehow the station comes in good from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. I get to hear Chicago WGN 72 on my radio and my house radio anytime from 10 p.m. to 10 a.m. After that, y'all, the signal gets fuzzy and all that. I don't know why. But yeah, it goes as far back all the way to Savannah, because our first year we moved, when we left Chicago, we moved to Savannah, but Hurricane Matthew ran us up out of there. So that's when we moved further inside to Atlanta.
You're a transplanted Chicagoan.
Yes. Yes, sir. Born and raised and still miss it.
Yeah, where did you grow up around here?
Grew up in Woodline area, 63rd and King Drive.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, don't worry about not being able to pick up the station. Did you say after 10 a.m.?
After 10 a.m., no, it doesn't come through. No. Yeah. 10 p.m. to 10 a.m., I hear it very clear.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
After that, fuzzy.
Yeah, no, the people on the radio after 10 are fuzzy anyway, so not to worry. It's okay. All right, Mitch, you hold on. We'll get you that prize. Our folks will get your information, and appreciate you being with us there in Atlanta, Georgia.
No problem. I hear you in the morning. I mean, Monday morning. Okay.
That's great. Bye-bye. Hey, hang on, Mitch.
Okay. Yep.
527. All right. Boy, you know what, Dave? I was watching a Blackhawks game, and I think they were down one zip after one period, and then I woke up this morning and found out about the crazy end of that game, and they still didn't gain any points as far as the playoff picture, huh?
No, they didn't, and look, they kind of knew the situation they put themselves in, that they not only need to win games, but they need help. They didn't get the help last night they could have used, but they did get a nice win against one of the league's top teams, so maybe that'll get them going now. They were down 2-0 after two periods and then scored five goals, and the rookie Dominik Kubalik got the hat trick in that third period. So all in all, a good night for them, and now they're going to go to Florida, a rematch with Joel Quenneville's Florida Panthers tomorrow. Then they get to come home for a few games. So, yeah, we'll see if they can put a streak together.
And get some help. Another good game from Crawford. And what did I hear? That it's only, the second or third time in franchise history they were down 2-0 in the third period and came back to win?
Third time in franchise history that they were down 2-0 going to the third and then scored five goals or more.
Wow.
And the five goals, the most they've scored in a period this year. So they were down, I think they had a game, I want to say against the Avalanche earlier this year, where they were down like 3-0 and then scored four goals in the third, something like that. But it hasn't happened very often. So nice that they had a chance to enjoy this one.
And they were in Tampa, right?
In Tampa.
And they hadn't won there in a number of years.
Yeah, not in a regular season game, no. So in almost a dozen years, I believe. So
all good, except they're still, 8 points back?
8 points out. They've got 18 games left. So figure, to have a shot, they got to win two-thirds of their remaining, like win 12 out of the 18, maybe gives them a mathematical chance. But
well, one down last night.
Yeah, absolutely.
Agribusiness Brief now with Orion.
Good morning. You can sum up the market activity yesterday in equities and grains and livestock with one word: coronavirus. Corn futures fell to contract lows yesterday. Wheat futures slumped to their lowest level in 2.5 months. Soybeans fell to their lowest point in 9 months, but then later recovered as strength did come into the soybean meal market. But at the end of the day, it was pretty much a red screen with the March wheat contract down 11 cents a bushel, March corn down 6 3/4, March soybeans ended the day higher, up 6 cents a bushel. Meanwhile, in livestock trade, Mercantile Exchange cattle futures ended mostly lower, several key contracts hitting new contract lows on the nagging worries about the spread of coronavirus. And grain markets and livestock markets are still anchored by tumbling outside markets. Global stocks and oil prices down sharply. U.S. Treasury yields hit record lows as traders worried over the economic impact of the virus. Checking some of the other stories this morning, there's one story dealing with biofuel industry, and the Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Andrew Wheeler said yesterday the agency has not decided how it will respond to that federal court decision a few weeks ago addressing exemptions to U.S. biofuel blending laws. His comments came in New York yesterday after the administration had decided to cut the number of exemptions granted to small refineries from U.S. biofuel blending laws in response to the court decision. Secretary of Agriculture Sonny Perdue at the podium today in San Antonio, Texas at the Commodity Classic. That's your Money on 720 WGN.
All right, thanks, Dorian. 541. Later on this morning, between 8 and 8:30, Orion joins us in a toast to Bob Collins. And Dave, give the history of this. This involves a bottle that Bob Collins saved in his desk drawer here
well,
for many years.
Well, what
right?
it was, there was when Bob died and Spike Odell moved into his office, there were only a few items in there, but one of them was this bottle of Jack Daniels. So Spike put it away, and then on Bob's birthday, we would toast Bob with the whiskey from the bottle of Jack Daniels. Now, over the years, we had managed to drink all of that Jack Daniels. So
it didn't evaporate.
It didn't evaporate,
used,
yeah. And it was only pulled out once a year.
Uh-huh.
It was in the morning show office for a long time and kept under lock and key. So a few years ago, I went to Binney's and bought a bottle of Jack Daniels, but you kept the original bottle because that's the keepsake, right? So we kept that bottle, and Orion and I, and I'll never forget how silly this must have looked. We needed something to use as a funnel so we could pour the new Jack Daniels into the old bottle. So we found one of those plastic birthday hats, you know, with a rubber band around it to hold it on your chin.
Yeah, Uncle Bobby would have loved that.
He would have loved it. Yeah. And so there's Orion and I trying to pour Jack Daniels into an upside-down birthday hat into another bottle of Jack Daniels. We were able to do it. And now, this has been several years because now I've got the bottle of Jack Daniels in my desk, and I'm going to go get it here in a little while. This might be it for this. I may have to go and replenish it again for next year.
So now what's going to happen between 8 and 8:30? How are we going to do this?
I think Big O's going to join us. Is that right, Super Joe? And he usually is the one who, because he's sort of a toast master.
Oh, for
and
sure.
And he finds yeah. the right words. Of course, he was very close. Bob was his closest friend. And,
right.
And so they talked about spending their golden years together out in Arizona. And so they will, Orion will offer some words about Bob.
I look forward to participating.
You don't really have to drink it.
Yeah, we're not using the Dixie cups, are we?
Well, no, actually, I don't know. We need some cups.
Because they deteriorate when we put that.
That stuff eats
toxic
right through.
alcohol.
I'm not a drinker. I mean, that
yeah, you are
shot,
today.
You are today. A shot glass of that would, you know, put
yep.
me away.
Just a sip. You just
yeah, you just sip it.
So when is the birthday, actually?
I believe it's today.
The 28th.
Is? Oh, really?
February 28th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that'll be
and
an
that's today,
ceremony.
Bob, because I know you have trouble with the date.
Yeah, that's right. My dream. Appreciate that, Dave. And now let's get to Steve Burness, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Chicago and Northern Illinois. Good to see you. Welcome, Steve. I've got a load of stuff to throw at you here. You ready?
I'm ready for you always, Bob.
Okay. First of all, I'm sick of these robocalls I get on my cell phone here, and they mask the number. So half the time, sometimes it even comes up your number, different numbers. Sometimes it looks like a familiar number. What's going on with this? And there is it just me, or are there more of these than ever now?
There's more than ever now. And then what happens is that consumers still believe caller ID. Unfortunately, the scammer knows how to take care of that and change it around. They make it close to your number, thinking, hey, it's somebody I know or somebody my work number, and that's why they want you to answer. But yeah, robocalls are the number one, you know, probably the number one call we're getting on the scams, and they continuously do it. The government's going to crack down on it, but I don't know how they're going to do it because the scammers don't care.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes I get on my phone spam alert. It'll say spam alert, but not always.
Not always, right. Sometimes it catches, sometimes it doesn't, but then they change numbers so rapidly, within minutes that they change it. They want to throw everything at the wall and see what sticks and see who answers. And once you answer, you'll get more calls. So we, the Better Business Bureau, suggest don't answer a call unless you know that caller ID, unless you know that person and it shows up. Otherwise, let it go to voicemail. Then you can, if they leave a number, you can use that number in Google and reverse search it and see what number.
So just don't answer.
Don't answer the phone calls. It's getting bad.
It's an election year. Do we have a lot of scammers using political issues to get your attention now?
Yeah, they want you to donate. So they're, and now, especially after a debate last night, they're going to, you know, people, it's in people's minds. So they're going to send the fake robocalls out to you asking you to donate. And they're actually not going to the party. It's going to a scammer. They're asking for your credit card information, things of that nature. It's happening across the nation. So if you get one of those calls, if you do want to donate, do investigate before you invest. Do the research on them and get some information from them in writing.
When we see a product and we see the Better Business Bureau label there, what does that actually mean? Does it mean you've tested this?
No, it doesn't mean we tested it. It means they meet our credit, meet our business practices, our standards for business practices. So that means that we know about them, we have done some research on them, and they are a verified business itself before we give them the seal. But again, people fraudulently use our seal too, so make certain if you see a work at home offer making $1 million with the Better Business Bureau seal, it's not it's not true. But my biggest frustration, Bob, as you know, is consumers don't call us first. They call us after about companies. We have all this information on companies that we can prevent them from losing their money or losing their life savings on some of them. And we can actually give them good businesses to go to. So we have accredited businesses, which we give our seal to, companies that we know. So if you need an automobile or waterproof or whatever it may be, snowplow, you can come to the Better Business Bureau and we'll give you a list of accredited businesses.
We're talking with the president and CEO of the Better Business Bureau here, Steve Burness. Steve, I saw this website, and basically it invites you to pay your credit card bill using this website, and they will pay off all your credit card bills, and it sounds here like it's easy to qualify. You just go online, and you could pay off your debt faster and cheaper. Have you come across any of these? Are they legit?
Some of them are legit, but you really have to look at them more closely. There's nothing free today, so basically, nobody's going to wipe up your debt. You're going to have to pay for it somehow. So basically, they're giving you a new loan, and it's going to go for a longer period of time. You've got to check on the APR, and there's so many different factors. But again, if somebody promises you to wipe your debt away, there's not. It's a scam.
It's tax season, so does that mean there are a lot of fake messages coming to us from the IRS?
Yeah,
and they don't. Unfortunately, I know from experience, they don't. They don't call you, do they?
No, they don't call you. They usually show up at your door, or they send you a nice, nasty letter
They
want to see you.
They communicate by mail, mainly.
Mainly. So if somebody calls you up from the IRS, and especially if the caller ID says IRS, it's fake. The IRS does not do that. Demand payment within 30 minutes. Any type. A lot of our scams, Bob, are within 30 minutes. They want you to do something quickly.
It's
like
the dominoes effect.
Exactly. So the only thing you should buy in 30 minutes is a pizza, and that's it. And other than that, it's a scam, because that's a lot of our scams are coming that way. The IRS is not going to call you. People Gas is not going to call you. ComEd is not going to call you. They're going to shut your power off.
IRS doesn't even email you, I don't think.
They do email sometimes. Do they? But they do follow up with a letter, so make sure you get that official letter first. They do email sometimes, but mostly it's a letter format.
Are there still a lot of romance scams out there?
Especially after Valentine's Day, yes. It's in the millions of dollars, and unfortunately now the millennials are the number one demographic that is being scammed, so it's moved away from the elderly on this one. The key to this, the tip-off to the rip-off, Bob, is basically that if you haven't met the person, you never give them money, and that's what they're doing. They're trying to extract money from you, and they send you these great pictures. They look good. They're models. Basically, what they're doing is just using fake pictures, and they're trying to solicit money from you, and that's the tip-off to the rip-off. And again, if they try to steer you away from the websites, let's talk on emails and not meet, that is the number. That's the scam.
You know what's scary is how legit some of these emails you get look. I mean, they really copy corporate logos carefully, don't they?
They do. They really make them look good. And actually, a lot of complaints are coming in now from businesses that it looks like it's coming from your boss, that you have to buy gift cards or wire some money outside the country. Actually, one of my employees got a fake email from me. It looked exactly like my email. And basically, the emails now read the text, Bob. So they texted my employee after they sent the email saying, I just sent you an email. You didn't respond yet within 3 minutes. So they're getting very, very good at what they're doing. Again, check out the offer with the Better Business Bureau first. On scams especially, we can let you know for your business, your consumer. We have a scam tracker like Santa Tracker. It keeps track of the scams across North America. But let us know about the scams. Even if you don't fall for it, let us know so we can warn others.
What about weather-related scams? People who need help because their basement's flooded or they need to hire a home inspector. Is this area still the one that really has the most complaints?
In the springtime, it does, because next week is Severe Weather Prep Month by the state of Illinois. So basically, it's information. Disasters happen all the time, and it's unfortunate. You got to be prepared for them. You know, last year, my neighbor was damaged by a major hailstorm in early in May, but the residual effects continue on, and you have those storm chasers, people that come out of the woodwork and are trying to take advantage of consumers. And biggest frustration, again, Bob, as I mentioned, is consumers don't check out those offers or companies. They assume they pull up their house with a van that has a Polish name or in a Polish neighborhood or a Spanish name in a Spanish neighborhood, and they do no checking on them until after, and they realize they've been duped. So, again, if somebody comes to your house, want to sell you something, yes, that's fine. But a lot of complaints come to the door-to-door salesman. Check them out. Get three offers, not just one offer, and don't give them cash.
A growing business now, these companies that help you protect your identity. And do you hear from people who have signed up for those? And what are you hearing?
So basically, it's like an insurance policy. These companies are guaranteed they can help you once your identity is theft. Remember, a very large one years ago put his ID, his social security number on a bus and drove it through town. And basically, he realized they can steal your identity. So no company is perfect. Nobody can stop it. So consumers have to realize this is and like an insurance policy. They can help you. You can do a lot of this yourself as well. There's a lot of sites. The Better Business Bureau has information. The Illinois Attorney General's Office has information on preventing identity theft. So take a look ahead of time and what you can do yourself. And others can help you. Yes, it's up to you, though I can't recommend or disapprove those companies.
What's the best and easiest way to contact you?
BBB.org. You know, before you buy or hire, go to our website, get information about the company ahead of time, and call us. We're there from 8 to 5, 312-832-0500. But again, everything's on the internet. Please search us when you're checking out companies or offers itself, because there's a lot of companies in business that I wouldn't do business with, and other people have warned it, and we have an F rating on them, and they've been in business for 30 or 40 years, but you got to check, and sometimes you call us, it's too late.
Well, it's good advice from the Better Business Bureau. Steve Burness is the man over there, and keep us posted on scams, will you?
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, good to see you. We spoke with Steve late in our broadcast the other day, so we wanted to let early birds like you hear that conversation. Hey, it's time to check the market outlook with Steve Grzanich. I'm afraid to ask. Futures down again, Steve?
Yeah, we've got futures off anywhere from 200 to 400 points. The implied open looks like the Dow is going to be down about 445 points right now. So we'll keep watching that. A couple of other things that could impact the markets today. today on the Outlook, sponsored by Associated Bank. Personal income and spending for January. Leading off the economic reports, analysts are forecasting a 0.3% increase in income and a 0.2% gain in spending. Those numbers come out at 7:30 Chicago time, along with January's goods trade balance and the advance outlook at January's wholesale inventories. Experts are calling for a 0.1% bump in wholesale inventories. The trade balance is seen as growing to $72.9 billion. Consumer spending numbers are out today. Core inflation numbers, Chicago PMI, and the consumer sentiment index coming on the earnings calendar. Colony Capital and Wayfair reporting quarterly earnings. Just a few things that could move the markets on Friday, February the 28th.
Thank you, sir. We'll get to the news momentarily from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And we talked to Lou Manfredini on Friday mornings. So if you have a problem there around the house and want to get Mr. Fix-It's opinion on what you should do, you'll be able to call him coming up at about 6:08 this morning. And that number will be 312-981-7200. Call us or text us at that number, 312-981-7200. By the way, our email here, bobshow@wgnradio.com. Not Bob's. There's just a BS in the middle of that. Bobshow@wgnradio.com. Coming up a little later, we will check in with Lieutenant David Haynes from the Chicago Police Department, our Friday food feature and a restaurant review and restaurant news from the author of the book, A Beat Cop's Guide to Good Eats. That'll be at around 6:38 this morning. Good to have you with us on this Friday. It's a cold one, and we've got some traffic problems, and we'll let you in on all of that information right now.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
At 6:10, we do this a little earlier on Fridays to make way for Lou Manfredini. Get to him momentarily. In the 24 hours after President Trump assured Americans that the response to the coronavirus was well in hand, signs of disorder began to emerge from Washington to Wall Street. The Trump administration accused of not providing protective gear or training workers who helped evacuate Americans from the outbreak's origin in China. Diagnostic kits distributed to cities and states have failed to work, limiting the ability of some frontline health workers to search for the virus. In California, the first patient without ties to a known case was diagnosed, raising fears that the pathogen is already quietly circulating in parts of this country. Last night, the president commented on the situation from the White House, calling the U.S. response to the virus so far an incredible achievement.
Now, page two.
As you heard Steve mention, Dow Jones futures have plunged again this morning, along with the S&P 500 futures and the NASDAQ, marking the biggest one-day drop in the index's history yesterday. The coronavirus stock market correction intensified yesterday, with the Dow Jones and other major indexes all falling more than 4%. Experts now say the virus, which has infected more than 83,000 and killed at least 2,800 worldwide, is ushering in an economic pandemic. This is now the stock market's worst week since October of 2008, when Wall Street was mired in the financial crisis. And let's see, the early word here on the futures. Tesla, Apple, Beyond Meat, so far notable losers as the Dow Jones futures are tumbling.
Page three.
The Chicago Police Department is unveiling new security plans for the CTA. The police will bolster their mass transit unit by 50 officers, assign 4 detectives exclusively to solving CTA crimes, and build a strategic deployment center specifically for mass transit. Interim Superintendent Charlie Beck's response to an outbreak of mass transit violence is to dramatically increase police presence on CTA trains and platforms and bring to the transit system what he called smart policing. Technology credited with driving down violent crime in some of Chicago's highest crime police districts. The mass transit unit, now at 200 officers, will grow to 250.
Page four.
Kia recalling more than 193,000 cars and minivans in another move to fix problems that could cause engine fires. The largest of two U.S. recalls released by the government yesterday covers nearly 142,000 2013 and 2014 Optima midsize cars. They have 2.4-liter direct fuel injection or 2-liter direct injection turbocharged engines. Kia says a fuel hose can deteriorate and crack due to engine heat. Those hoses can leak and cause fires. A fix still being developed. That recall is expected to start April 16.
Stand by for news.
We've been talking about this, and now comes word that Amazon will open a grocery store in South Naperville. They filed for a liquor license application. Amazon Retail has requested that to sell packaged goods on Route 59, the new store taking over part of what had been a former Dominick's. An opening date for that business has not been released. The name of the store has not been announced yet.
Dome, it may concern.
And you knew this was going to happen. Rob Blagojevich will wish you a happy birthday, but it will cost you. For $100, the newly freed governor will send you a birthday greeting, anniversary greeting, motivation, or any other kind of shout-out. Blagojevich has joined Cameo, the web service where notable people record personalized video greetings for strangers for a price. Initially, the cost for Blago, $40 per recording. Then it was raised to $55 within an hour. And then when Patty announced all of this and his availability, it went up again. By 6 p.m. last night, the price was $100. Here's what you get.
Hey, it's Rob Blagojevich. I'm very excited to connect with you on Cameo. If you want a birthday greeting, an anniversary greeting, motivation, or any other kind of shout out, I can't wait to hear from you.
He's got to make some money, and I guess he'll make a lot with that, don't you think? I got to call Cameo. Maybe I can get in on that, too.
I bet you could.
You know, maybe I'll do a little two-man thing with Rod. Wonder if he'd go for that. I think at this point he'd go for anything, wouldn't he?
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
Good day.
Hello.
It's time to learn it all. Here on Lou's First Call. Lou's First Call is sponsored by Gilkey Windows, Chicago's only family-owned, direct-to-consumer window manufacturer.
Time for our regular Friday feature at 6:20. Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, Robert. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Do you like my idea, instead of calling you Mr. Fix-It, Mr. Know-It-All?
No, because that would not be true. I am just a purveyor of a bunch of information that is locked in my brain, but I also have copious friends in the trades that I can lean on that will help me, and then for some reason I remember all that stuff.
You're an aggregator.
I'm an aggregator. Yes. Perfect. You can call me that.
Yeah, Mr. Aggregator.
You can call me Exposed Aggregate. It's always been my favorite concrete finish.
Yeah, Mr. Know-It-All would be a bit pompous. Joe is our first call for you. He's in Tinley Park. Joe, what's your problem there at home? Lou is ready to fix it.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Lou. In December, I purchased a house, and all the floors are squeaking. And I ended up going to Home Depot. And right now it's carpet, just with the subfloor. So I got that little tool that you screw right through the carpet and break off the heads of the screw. But the one that was really troubling me was the bathroom. It's got an old tile on it. I was wondering if there's any way I could do it without ripping up all the tile.
Okay, one thing. With the floor, if it's squeaking all over the place with the carpeting, that tool that you have is only effective if you know where the joists are. And that's very difficult.
Yeah.
To find out. Now, is the floor underneath there where the carpeting is? Can you see the joists?
Well, I actually found them. I hit all that, and actually it's 100% better.
That's awesome.
The carpet.
Okay, now what about in that bathroom?
That worked well.
What about the bathroom?
What I was doing with the bathroom is I found the studs, obviously, in the bedroom, which lead to the bathroom. It's connected.
Right.
So I was kind of just doing the 16 inches on center. And found the studs in the bathroom. But I was, without ripping up the whole floor, I was wondering, I mean, is it possible
you cannot
to drill
access,
a few holes? And
you cannot access the joists from under the bathroom, right? Is this a second floor bathroom?
It's a second floor, correct.
Yeah. Hey, what if you don't know what a joist is, Lou?
That's the thing. That's those, Bob, are the timbers, the wood that is on edge that the floor sits on top of. So they're 16 on center. It's like, you know, the studs in a wall, but they're lying horizontally and they're taller. And then that's the plywood or the subfloor sits on top of that. And then your tile or your carpeting or your hardwood, whatever it may be. That's the floor, what makes up the framing of the floor. But your issue here is that if you can't access that from below, your only way to tighten up that floor is to take up the tile, which is kind of crazy.
Right.
You know, especially, I mean, if you're not going to, if everything looks good and the remodeling, you know, you're not going to remodel the bathroom, you're probably...
We're not remodeling the bathroom. We want to redo the tile. It's from the 70s. It's a little outdated, so we're going to kind of just go over with the laminate, if that's possible.
Well, then this is your motivator, that if you want to, go over that tile with some kind of like luxury vinyl tile, then if you know where the floor joists are, you could take a ceramic tile drill bit and you could drill holes through the tile and then you could drive the screws through the tile into the joist to tighten things up. And then you could put your luxury vinyl tile or whatever you want over the top of that. Or you scrape it all up, get down to the subfloor, then you know exactly what you have. And
Correct,
you can really ensure that it's going to be quiet.
Joe, you got a busy weekend. You better get started.
I sure do.
Thanks for the call, and thanks
for listening.
Thank you. And,
Bob, do I do if I don't know where the joists are? This conversation, sir, is not for you.
All right, I have some questions for you today, Lou. First of all, you're an expert on all things involving hardware stores.
Oh, geez.
So when you go to the hardware store and you want to buy some batteries, usually the brand name batteries are a little bit more expensive than the hardware store brand batteries. You know what I mean?
Correct.
So, but are they basically the same thing?
So in the case of, you know, my wife and I own a couple of Ace hardware stores. The Ace branded batteries are made by Rayovac.
Oh, okay. So it's really, it's just the label that's different, right?
Correct. And so when you're looking at alkaline batteries, you know, they used to be made by Duracell. And I think probably Duracell does a nice job of marketing that they have the longest lasting battery, which I think, you know, they probably do. But when you go with the store brand like that, in the case, I can only speak in the case of Ace because I know this, you know, for a fact.
Mm-hmm.
But others, you know, some of the cheaper ones, if you go with the brand of the store, so let's say you went to a True Value, or I don't even know if Home Depot has a brand of batteries, but usually they're just made by the other major manufacturer. It's the same thing with a different wrap.
So you can save some money and get the good product still.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Are you selling a lot of disinfectant these days and powerful cleaning solutions because of the coronavirus
scare? We are. And I think that, you know, I think, Bob, you've been in the media long enough. I think a lot of us have that. It certainly, to me, this is my opinion, is that we're kind of jumping through a lot of hoops to, and we don't know what's going on. And so certainly the disinfectants will help keep your home clean. And that will be a benefit, you know, for any kind of sickness, whether it's a cold or flu. Everyone's coming in to buy masks. You can't find a mask to save your life. And everything that I'm reading so far says that it's really not that effective to keep you from getting the, you know, the coronavirus as it was. So I think we need to take a pause a little bit. I'm going to talk a little bit about this morning on WGN TV. One of the things, if people want to do that, these disinfectants that are out there, I mean, even the simple thing like Pine Sol, or, you know, if you took a quarter cup of regular bleach, Clorox bleach, with a gallon of water, and you mix that up, and then you took a rag to wipe down surfaces, that's a disinfectant. And you don't want to do it on painted surfaces, but any non-porous area like a countertop, the handles on the doorknobs, the toilet handles, places like that where a lot of germs traditionally are, keep our cell phones clean. I mean, there's no downside to that, in my opinion, but there's still so much to learn about all this, and I think that if we pause a little bit and use a lot of common sense, that we will prevail.
Well, the thing with the masks is interesting because, as all the experts have said, the way this spreads is by contact. It's not an airborne virus. So,
Right, and they're still figuring that out, right? Yeah. I mean, there's no, I mean, I'm sure you're reading this and watching the stories too. There's no definitive. They're like, well, this is how we think it is. And mm-hmm. I think we're a couple weeks away from knowing, but it certainly seems like there are a lot of people trying to figure this out.
Better to be safe than sorry.
Agreed.
Lou Manfredini on the radio here. That's tomorrow morning starting 7 at 7 WGN. And Lou, just to be safe, he'll be doing the show from a tub of Purell tomorrow
Correct.
Morning.
Correct, wiping everything down.
Lou's. Thank you, Lou. The first call sponsored by Gilkey Windows, independently verified to be one of the country's most energy-efficient windows. It's Friday, and that means we've got the author of the book, A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats, Lieutenant David Haynes, with us with a restaurant review and some food news coming up after our 6:30 news.
The story you are about to see is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Every Friday around 6:40, we visit with the author of the book, A Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats, from the Chicago Police Department, Lieutenant David Haynes, with food news and restaurant reviews. Good morning, Lieutenant. Wait a minute, let me turn your microphone. Sorry. Hi, how are you?
Good morning.
Wait a minute. Why is your microphone not working here?
Try
that.
There we go.
Good morning. Sorry about that. Don't arrest me for that. I'm very impressed because you're in uniform today.
Yes. Well, I actually am. I'm in uniform usually every week, but I always wear a cover-up shirt. So, this time I just didn't bother to button the overshirt.
Yeah, looking at the badge, very impressive. And the white shirt. Now, when I would be covering news on television, everybody would say, if you want information on a story, well, look for one of the white shirts. Is that white shirt supervisors?
Right, yeah. Sergeants and above have wear white shirts. And so, yeah, but we don't really give out any information.
I remember that.
I remember there was a class on it once when I got promoted, and Pat Camden taught a class on dealing with the media, and he said, here's the rule of thumb. If your guy saves somebody from a fire, make sure you spell their names right. If they threw somebody into the fire, refer them to media relations. But now we just refer everybody to media relations.
So who's your boss there in Jefferson Park?
Commander Maureen Begain. And she's a great boss. So I've known her for my whole career, basically. But it's very nice working for her.
And your rank is right under that?
Well, I have a captain, too. We have a commander and an executive officer who's a captain. That's Joe Petrenko. And then all the lieutenants are below him.
I see. So let me ask you about this tradition now you've started here, because every week, in addition to reviewing a restaurant and giving us some restaurant news, you bring in some baked goods. Are you sure you want to continue doing that? I mean, you've set yourself up so everybody here, the crew, everybody expects you to bring in some, like last week, those spectacular chocolate donuts.
Right, yeah. You know, and actually, I wasn't going to bring in anything because Ash Wednesday was this week, and I'm back on my diet, and I figured if I have to suffer, everybody else does, too.
Sure.
But my son found out about it, and he sent some stuff with me, so I could...
Okay, everybody's happy about that. Is this from Isabella Bakery?
No, this is not. I brought some stuff from the other restaurant that we're going to talk about.
Oh, okay.
But Isabella Bakery is owned by a police officer, so I found out about it, and I thought I should talk to this officer, Ken Herrera, in the 19th District over by Wrigley Field, and his family owns a bakery called Isabella Bakery at 1659 West Foster, and it's a Guatemalan bakery, and it's called Isabella Bakery, but they also have other foods. They do some tamales. They do a Guatemalan breakfast every morning. That's eggs and black beans and some kind of bread. I forget.
Do you know why Officer Herrera is dealing with Guatemalan food?
Well, he's Guatemalan. I think his mother actually started. I'm not sure about that, but it's a family bakery, but I think his mother started the bakery. I took my kids there. They have empanadas. They have these great empanadas that are, they have beef or chicken. So
I love
savory.
I love empanadas.
Oh yeah, and they also have strawberry and pineapple. So sweet and savory empanadas, which are just just really good. And tamales, too. They do a couple different types of tamales.
Isabella Bakery, 1659 West Foster.
Right.
That sounds like a good place to check out.
Yeah, it's a nice little place. They have the tables are like cut barrels. It's really a kind of a cool place. And they have all kinds of, they make some great flan, too, by the way.
Continuing our Friday visit with Lieutenant David Haynes of the Chicago Police Department. By the way, are you packing heat? Because you're in uniform today, I mentioned.
Yes.
You are?
Every time I
heat?
Go up there, yeah. I'm surprised they don't check me down in the lobby, but yeah.
I have to check. I don't know how many of our guests come in armed. Hopefully, it's only you.
Well, I think the superintendent was. Well, or I don't know if he had, actually, come to think of it.
I didn't pat him down when he was here. All right, let's talk about the restaurant you've chosen to review this week.
All right, it's called Bistro 6050, and it's at 6050 West Irving Park Road, 6050, so that's a very thoughtful name. Mm-hmm. And it was recommended by Detective Mike Safranovic, who is Big Mike, we call him. He's assigned area North Detectives, but he works all the property cases in 16, so we see him all the time.
He likes this restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he loves it. And he recommended it to me, and he comes every time. I saw him in there one day when I was there with my wife, and every time now I see him, he mentions it, because it's like, hey, you should get your friends to go there and stuff. So. and the reason is this place, it's a very small little cafe, bistro, and it's run by a guy named Chris and his wife Roselle, and Roselle makes homemade ice cream, and it's very good. I'm sorry, my wife says I say phenomenal too often. So
you can say it.
She gave me a list of different synonyms.
Oh, I get it. All right,
but she makes homemade ice cream, and it's really great. And even Mike was telling me that he used to like this ice cream that was at a different place. I don't want to say the name, but it rhymes with Flober Vice, and.
Let me think what that could possibly be.
They discontinued his favorite ice cream, and so he mentioned it to Roselle. And the next time he came in, she goes, "Here, try this." And she had created this flavor for him, and it was even better than what that other guy did. So,
is it mainly a dessert place?
Well, it's I think most of the people in the neighborhood who go there for the ice cream, the crepes. But they do have sandwiches. They have burgers. They also have empanadas, and. They have the tea. I brought some tea in for Vivian because she says I'm bringing in too much unhealthy stuff. So.
One of our producers, right? Yeah. And I smelled the loose tea in there, and wow, it's I can't wait to try that.
Right. It's I brought passion fruit. They have a couple different flavors, rubber passion fruit. But what makes this tea great is that it's edible. So, like, when my wife uses it, she makes the tea and she drinks her tea, and then when she's done, she puts the tea in her oatmeal, and you can eat it, and it adds flavor to your oatmeal. It's a really interesting idea. I don't know. I never heard of it before, so I don't know if they invented it, but I've never heard of it before.
So this is tea only available at this place, at Bistro 6050?
Right. The tea I bought is only available there. I don't know if other places make something similar, but this is the only time I've ever heard of it. And I got it at Bistro 6050. They also make this, they have a trademark snack called charcoal nuts, and it's kind of like spicy nuts and cranberry mixture, and it's really good. They make they also make an ice cream based on that. It's called charcoal nut ice cream. It is black ice cream, which was really
interesting.
Cool.
And what's her name? Roselle, did you say?
Roselle, yeah. Roselle is and Chris is the they're the owners.
Are they there?
They're always there, and they're always greeting everybody.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, and Chris is French. So he's got a heavy French accent, and Roselle is Vietnamese. So I think they combine the two. The combination makes it very interesting dynamic in there. And she's always trying to get, here, try this. And she's coming up with all kinds of new and different things. They make a Ferrero Rocher ice cream and crepes, which is like hazelnut. It tastes like that candy, that little candy that comes in the foil.
I'm a vanilla and chocolate guy myself.
Well, I'm telling you, you should try some of these stuff they do.
Can you have...
you got to get outside your circle.
I know. Thank you, Marianne. Can you have lunch and dinner there as well?
Yeah, they have burgers, and they have a bunch of different sandwiches and soup. They have soup, too, and empanadas.
And anything special for Lent?
I didn't ask that. But we have a little Lenten section in the next, if you want to talk about it.
Oh, sure. Yeah, let's close this up by saying Bistro 6050 is at 6050 West Irving Park.
In the 16th District.
Recommended by Detective Big Mike. And so every week you get recommendations from fellow officers, right?
Right, yes. I put out the word that I was doing this, and I needed some recommendations, and I got 80 restaurants to go to. So
you're going
to
be busy.
And then we could ask again for some more.
we were talking about pepper and egg sandwiches here the other day. Apparently, I didn't know it was kind of invented, people say, in Chicago. It's really a Chicago thing.
Right, yeah. Well, and I'm sure not by now it's spread out, but really, you know, we should take credit for that. That we brought that to the world.
That and Italian beef.
Yeah. And there's a lot of everywhere that serves a beef sandwich these days, most of the time on Fridays we'll have pepper and egg. The one I like the best, though, and I don't usually recommend chain restaurants because I always like the little mom and pop places.
Yeah, me
but
too.
Portillo's has a very good pepper and egg sandwich on Fridays.
I've never tried it there.
Yeah. Portillo's has a very good one.
I didn't even know they had it.
Yeah. Only during Lent, as far as I know. Only during Lent.
Do they have a Friday night fish fry, too?
No, but I did bring some. I got some recommendations for Friday night fish fry. Because that's always a big thing during Lent.
Oh, let's hear those.
A lot of the churches have them. So I came up with three that are, at least we could talk about this week and we can do it next week. But tonight, anyway, at St. Christina's at 3333 West 110th Street. They have a Friday night fish fry. Ascension Parish out west in Oak Park, 808 Southeast Avenue, and that's $10. And they have beer and wine, too, at that one. So
okay.
And then the Irish American Heritage Center, which, yes, they have beer and wine and a lot of other stuff. But the at 4626 North Knox, the Irish American Heritage Center has their fish fries, $14 for adults. And usually these are all you can eat. I don't know if this is. It doesn't say.
Good recommendations. Very timely. Yep. We have some restaurant news to get to, and we will get to the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. That's coming up in 4 minutes. As for what's happening in the world of food, the 15 Chicago chefs are among the Beard Awards semifinalists. And I can't pronounce any of these names, but two places here nominated for Best New Restaurants by the 2020 James Beard Awards Committee, Chicago's, and it's THATTU. These places are too high class for me, I think. Maybe Lieutenant Haynes has been there. And also TZUCO. I want to say Thatu and
Zuko?
Zuko.
I think it's Zuko.
In addition, Boca received the Lone Chicago nomination in the category of Outstanding Restaurant. And then in the category of Best Chef, Great Lakes Region, half of the nominations went to Chicago chefs. And let's see. Can I pronounce any of these? This from the Cellar Door Provisions Restaurant, the chef also at Lulu Cafe.
Lulu Cafe is great.
Momotaro. I haven't been there. Frontier. Haisu, okay. Also Oriole and Smith and Kiko Virtue, and then I mentioned Boca. Okay,
right
there you go.
No bakers from Chicago were nominated for Best Baker though, but my son will be eligible next year. So if you want to remember Nate Haynes' name, you can.
Where does he work?
He works at Aya Pastry out on Lake Street, 11. I think it's 1159 West Lake. He actually sent some stuff in because he found out I wasn't bringing anything. So
good, good for him. More than 20 restaurants showcase some of the city's best Latino chefs at Pilsen Gourmet. That'll be going on tomorrow evening at 1647 Blue Island. Featured are chef demonstrations, food samples, craft artists, silent auction, music. Proceeds benefit Pilsen Fest, the neighborhood's annual summer celebration. That will be followed by the first Pilsen Restaurant Week, which is March 1st through the 7th. Sunday is the 1st. In that restaurant week, two dozen eateries offer prefix menus highlighting traditional and contemporary dishes. So you've got the Pilsen Gourmet coming up tomorrow evening on Blue Island, and then next week Pilsen Restaurant Week.
Yeah, I love those gourmet things. There's a Chicago gourmet in the summertime too, and when they bring these chefs together and they're doing these tips and clues, you can actually meet and talk to all these chefs, and man, it is it is great to see how much they really get into their craft. And, you know, as much like you should do a, like a, where you give tips and clues on how to be a radio
guy. No, what not to do.
The craft. You and Dave Enick, the time and energy you put in your craft.
Oh, yeah. Chicago Gourmet is a great event. It's a little expensive, but it's worth it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. If you, yeah, you know what? I didn't realize it until I went last year. If it's I think it was a couple $100, or maybe $100 for the lowest ticket, but you get far more than that worth of food and drink.
So yeah, too much. Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, take an Uber. I mean, they had the whiskey infused ice cream. They had I can't remember the name, which one it was, but
well, they have a lot of things like that, but they also have some of the staples, you know. Right. So it's not just fancy foo-foo right. food there,
right? And there's every winemaker you can think of has a booth, and they're handing out glasses. So
you've checked that out. See, I go right for the Black Cow booth. Lieutenant David Haynes, The Beat Cop's Guide to Chicago Eats is the book. We'll look forward to your visit again next Friday, Lieutenant.
Well, good. I'm invited back. Thank you.
Yes, you are. Enjoy the weekend.
Hey, let's be careful out here.
7:09, and we're joined by Seamus Toomey from Block Club Chicago, here with extremely local news. What's happening with the scooters? Are we going to be seeing them all over the city again anytime soon, Seamus?
We are going to be seeing them all over the city again. Well, at least certain sections of the city. They're going to do the second year of the pilot program for these e-scooters. The first one went... I don't know. I mean, there was various varying degrees of a success. A lot of people were injured. We reported 192 separate injuries. Most of those were people that were riding the scooters, but they did crash into some people.
Isn't the big problem here and in other cities that people leave them all over the place?
Right. That, to me, that's the annoying part of it, is that they're just haphazardly strewn all over the sidewalks and, you know, not standing up against poles or against mm-hmm. walls, and people just sort of, it's like, you know, they just flee the scene.
Right.
So that's what it came up this week. The aldermen were having a panel talking about how we're going to make this better when they come back in the spring. And the main thing was, yes, how do we keep the sidewalks clear? And also, how do we get the scooter riders off the sidewalks? You know, you got to ride it in the street with these, just like bikes. But if you were in one of these target areas last summer, you see that some people didn't know that and were zipping up and down the sidewalks, and it's creating a lot of hazards. So that was the main crux of the arguments. Alderman Riley, who's in charge of River North and Streeterville, he was calling them, you know, goofballs, and, you know, how do we get these goofballs off the streets?
But they're going to be out there this summer. They're going to test it again.
Yeah, they haven't hammered out the details of the pilot. Last year, there were 10 separate companies. We don't think there's going to be all 10 of them are going to be back. But yes, they're going to roll it out, try to keep it going. It's been successful in lots of other cities. So, you know, you would expect Chicago to figure out a way to rein it in. But as I think we've talked about before, in some of these other cities, it's a mess on the sidewalks, particularly in the touristy areas.
Yeah, I've seen that out in L.A. In Andersonville, the businesses there are concerned with that Red Line renovation. What's the latest on that?
Yeah, this is a project we've been following really closely because it's about a five-year project where they're overhauling the Red Line from Belmont all the way up to Howard. The big the highlight part of the project is this flyover at, you know, just south of Wrigley Field, where they're going to separate the train tracks. But some of the lesser reported parts of it are the rebuilding of stations up and down between Belmont and Howard. And that's really got businesses that work really close to these stations spooked. They see the timeline. They see that it could be 3 years, that it's going to be a construction zone, and their stations may be actually closed even. All that foot traffic that they count on. The CTA, to their credit, has been working really closely with all these businesses. They're working on signs to say, you know, open for construction, or, you know, Dunkin' Donuts this way. But
yeah, it's still difficult.
It's still difficult. And we highlighted an example this week. Our Joe Ward, who covers the area up there, he wrote about a place called Bryn Mawr Jewelry. It's on, not surprisingly, Bryn Mawr, which is targeted for a station closure and a temporary station as well. So the gentleman that owns the place, he just said, okay, you know, now's the time. I've got to bite the bullet. I can't wait 7 years for this project to end. So he's actually moving Bryn Mawr Jewelry to Clark Street. He's still going to call it Bryn Mawr, but he's switching neighborhoods. He's going from Edgewater to Andersonville to an area a little bit further away from this construction.
Are they going to get a new station at Bryn Mawr eventually?
They're going to get a new station at Bryn Mawr as well. So it's been a jewelry shop at that location, 1125 West Bryn Mawr, since 1918.
I've passed it. Not in 1918, but I know the place.
It's a great little district right there where
it is,
you know, and it's very it's a historic district. They've put a lot of work into it, a lot of the signage as well to highlight the historic nature of it. But he says, listen, I gotta go somewhere where the customers are gonna be. So
sure.
Hello Andersonville.
Another historic structure. You've been covering the Congress Theater for a while. What is happening with that?
That is the question in the neighborhood in Logan Square. The alderman's office, Daniel Lospada's office, says that's one of the main questions that they get from constituents is how come there appears to be no construction going on at the Congress Theater now 5 years after the developer bought it and said, hey, we're renovating it, $96 million, $10 million in TIF money. Their scaffolding went up and on the exterior. And, you know, mysteriously, the scaffolding has since come down with no apparent work done. The developer himself is not answering questions, certainly our questions, but even the alderman's office says, hey, we're having a hard time getting a hold of this guy to figure out what's going on. They did promise that they have scheduled a meeting with him to get an update. It's entirely possible that there's been some wonderful renovation work going on in the interior of it, but there's really been no sign of that outwardly to the public. And, you know, this has been 5 years, and it's going to be a multi-year project, and it's such a important spot in the neighborhood. All the businesses around it are really counting on them to bring back some of this foot traffic, and there was supposed to be a 10-story apartment building going next to it. So we talked to a lot of the business owners there, and they're just sitting on their hands waiting for this construction zone to go away.
Is that Milwaukee Avenue? I forgot.
Yeah, it's 2135 North Milwaukee, and I was in the Congress in its waning days, and it really was a wreck in there.
Yeah, I mean it's got the potential to be great. Though.
It's got the potential. It's a wonderful building.
It needs a lot of work.
It needed a lot of work.
Seamus Toomey, Block Club Chicago, with our extremely local news. Have a good weekend, Seamus. Thank you.
Thanks, Bob. You too.
Well, this is an historic day at WGN TV Channel 9 because at 11 a.m. this morning, when Steve Sanders steps into the studio to anchor the midday newscast with Dina Baer that he's been doing between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. for so long now, it'll be the swan song because he is retiring and today's his last day. And how are you feeling about all this, Steve?
You know, Bob, I'm a little nervous about this. I've never not worked since I was a teenager, probably like you. You know, it's I'm not sure what retirees are supposed to do, but I'm going to enjoy it, I think. I'm never bored. I always have something to do, so we'll see. But I'm going to miss this place.
Well, that's understandable, and I can tell you that the hours will be great, but the pay will leave something to be desired.
Oh, yeah. We all think about that, don't we? That weekly, monthly paycheck is going to be missed.
I know enough about you to know that you're probably going to be going to a lot of music shows because you love your music, don't you?
I really do. It's something my brothers and I did growing up. We all played in garage bands as kids and growing up in Alabama. And, you know, I kind of rediscovered that about 15 years ago. And But to be honest with you, for about 20 years in this business, I didn't pick up a guitar publicly because I think I had a stuffy idea about who I was. I thought, Walter Cronkite wouldn't do this, you know, and I couldn't see Huntley and Brinkley doing that. And those are the guys I always looked up to. But you know what? I decided to pick up a guitar again and start having fun.
Yeah, you know what? It's all changed, though. So it would be perfectly acceptable if, like at 1:05 this afternoon on Channel 9, you brought the guitar out and you did a little song, a little goodbye song.
I've done that before. I don't know if it'll happen. Why not, you know?
Well, let's see, yeah. Forty years, just about, in the WGN newsroom. Are there memorable stories that stand out? I know there have been so many.
You know, I always think about one of the first big stories I covered when I got here. It was the first, actually, Christmas week, 1982, but really, I think I was launched here in early 2000, I'm sorry, 1983, and they had me covering Harold Washington. And I think they put me on Washington because they didn't really think this guy was going to win. And I'd be out covering him every day. And I'd come back to the newsroom and I'd say, hey, you know, I know I'm the new kid here and I don't know the political landscape in Chicago, but let me tell you, this guy, Harold Washington, he's got traction. This guy's taking flight, and you need to keep an eye on him. And sure enough, the rest is history. But
yeah.
it was really something else covering here in Washington.
Yeah, you know what? In my limited experience being around him back in the 80s at Channel 2, he was a lot of fun, wasn't he?
He really was, and just a brilliant guy, wonderful vocabulary, and you know, and of course he was reelected, and you know, there were so many Chicagoans, especially white Chicagoans, who thought the sun wasn't going to come up when he got elected, and he proved them all wrong, I think.
Council wars, who will ever forget that?
Oh my goodness! Oh, it wasn't that something, especially that one night after Harold died, and right around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I try to remember the year. What was it, 86, 87, something like that. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's all such a blur. And then I'll never forget doing a sit-down interview with this state senator, African-American state senator with a funny name, Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And I came back to the office. It must have been maybe early 2000s. And I said, do you guys know about this Barack Obama guy? He's amazing. He's the most, this guy's the most radiant politician I think I've ever interviewed. And, you know, I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and we know how that ended.
One of the fortunate perks of our business is getting to meet some of these people, and in many cases, before everybody gets to know them. Steve, since you grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, you've been here for so long now. Do you consider yourself a native Chicagoan at this point?
You know, Bob, I do. I've lived more than half my life in Chicago, and this is home now. But I'll tell you something. You know, growing up in Alabama, Chicago was my idea of the big time. Not New York, not Los Angeles, because my dad was from Southern Illinois. He was a Midwesterner. In fact, I still, my brother and I still own a small farm in Southern Illinois that was homesteaded in the 1850s by my ancestors. So I've always felt like I've had deep roots in Illinois. My uncle, aunt and uncle have lived in the Chicago area since the 60s. Don Prince, my uncle, was chairman of the Illinois Board of Higher Education for many years. So I've always felt like I've had one foot in the Midwest and the other in the South. But this is home. It really is.
And after retirement, which starts at 1 o'clock this afternoon, do you plan to stay in the area?
I do. You know, like I said, this is home. My 30-year-old son lives not far away. He's in the city, and you know, I can't imagine living anywhere else.
Well, we're going to miss you. Your colleagues in the newsroom at WGN will miss you. And as viewers, I fortunately got to run into you here and there over the years, but I'll miss seeing you on television as well. And it's going to be different. And I hear they're bringing in 12 network anchors to replace you. Is that do I have that right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's been a distinct honor and privilege. It really has. And I never imagined that I would have 37 wonderful years in Chicago.
Well, the good news is when you anchor the news with Dina from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today on Channel 9, your last day, the good news is you are allowed to have the last broadcast. You're not in the situation where you're told by management, Steve Sanders, you've just done your last newscast. All right, get the security guard and walk him out of the building.
You know what? I was actually thinking that this is a business where so many of our careers end unceremoniously, and it looks like mine's going to end with a ceremony.
and a well-deserved ceremony. All the best to you, Steve. Look forward to bumping into you down the road, and congratulations on a fantastic career at WGN News.
I'm honored, Bob. Thank you so much.
Coming up on 728, as Rob Feeder called him recently in Rob's column, one of the all-time coolest guys on Chicago television, Steve Sanders. It's 728 now, and speaking about Rob Feeder's column, today he reveals this. For 6 weeks during the summer of 2002, a 20-year-old college student named Peter Buttigieg, Mayor Pete, toiled in the background as an intern at Channel 5. How about that? Apparently, the record of his employment at NBC here in Chicago, Channel 5, ran from June 17th to July 28th, and it shows that Buttigieg received an outstanding rating on his evaluation form as an intern with Channel 5's investigative unit. And apparently he worked very closely with Renee Ferguson over there, who became his mentor. And it's an interesting story. I had not heard that before. He lived in Chicago, and apparently that summer wasn't the only time he was in the city. Following his graduation from Harvard and the University of Oxford, he returned in 2007 to work as a consultant for a company called McKinsey and Company. He lived in a rented loft condo in the Loop. He told that story to the Sun Times recently. And now, direct from NBC's Today Show and soon to be in Lake Michigan, let's say good morning to Al Roker. Hi, Al.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
I'm doing good, and I'm warmer than you will be on March 1st, Sunday, when you do the polar plunge. This is the second time you've done this, right?
Yeah, it is. I did it a few years ago. Dylan Dreyer and I and Lady Gaga did the polar plunge, and it wasn't, you know, it was one of those things where they had to, you know, they had to cut a channel in the ice for us to go out there. I know there's not a lot of ice on Lake Michigan, but probably by shore there is. So it'll be plenty chilly for us.
Yeah. You know, the good news is Sunday it should get up into the 50s. However, when you're in the water at about 10 in the morning, it's not going to be that warm. And the water temperature currently, Lake Michigan, 35.
34, 35.
Yeah.
34, 35. Yeah. This is a prime example of being able to use the George Costanza. Tell her about the shrinkage, Jerry.
Yeah. By the way, in a few minutes, I want to ask you about Jerry Seinfeld, your former college classmate. But back to the polar plunge. This is the 20th anniversary, and they'll get maybe about 4,500 people this year. And the important thing, $2 million to assist Special Olympics athletes. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very special. My son is actually a Special Olympian. His specialty is swimming. And so when they asked me to do this, I obviously said yes. I also tricked Craig Melvin into doing it as well. I don't think he realized when this was happening. I think he just thought it was, you know, a dip at Lake Michigan. I didn't tell him the name of the event. So when he found out, because he had already committed, he's a stand-up guy, so he's coming. But what do you say? Yeah, what are you going to do?
MSNBC's Craig Melvin will be there, too. I think what happened here, Al Roker, is you said, do you want to be in the polar plunge? He thought he heard you say the solar plunge and was expecting
that's
to be here
exactly
in July or August. That's probably what happened.
And, you know, all of us Today Show folk stick together and support each other. Savannah was going to do it, but she had a previous commitment, which was anything. other than that. She's sitting right next to me. We're in between breaks right now. She's not crazy. In between breaks right now, you know, we're in Orlando. Although it's a little chilly here, it's only in the low 40s. Carson Daly's here too, so it's, we're having a good time.
Yeah, Carson Daly, by the way, is he the tallest man at NBC?
I don't think so. Craig's pretty tall. Savannah's about as tall as Carson, I think. Carson's a giant. Carson's a mini giant.
Tell Carson
he's
that
a giant with stunted growth.
Tell Carson I love watching him on MTV Total Request Live. It's fantastic.
Okay, I will. It's a little time warp.
How is Savannah's eye, by the way? Is she okay?
Savannah's eye is doing okay. She's, you know, it's a work in progress. But, you know, she's a trooper. She just keeps coming in and hanging out. And, you know, that's the thing. It's like we're this weird, dysfunctional family that loves each other. And you know, we share all of our issues and maladies and all this stuff with America, whether America wants to know or not.
Well, you know,
we just tell them.
We feel like we know you.
Savannah just said, I should tell you about my rash.
Yeah, we want to hear about that. Does Savannah ever want to borrow your colored glasses, Al?
Actually, Savannah has a pair of my colored glasses. She does. She's got two of them. So I think pink and blue.
Yeah.
So we are trendsetters here on today.
By the way, have you been in Chicago much over the years outside of the last time you were here for the Polar Plunge?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I'm in Chicago all the time. I love Chicago. I saw Hamilton there several times, and the great Miguel is coming to New York to play the lead role. And, you know, I adore Chicago. I have a very good friend there, a guy named John Harris, who works for ConAgra.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good marketing guy. Yeah, he's a good guy. In fact, I think John is going to do the Polar Plunge with me. He said, I think I have a cardiac condition, so I don't think I can do it, but his cardiologist said it's okay.
Yeah, a likely story. Continuing our conversation with NBC's Al Roker from the Today Show into Lake Michigan for the Polar Plunge coming up this Sunday, along with his colleague from MSNBC, Craig Melvin. Al, since you started in the morning television at that time, has grown so much. What have you noticed mostly since your early days on Today about the job?
Well, what I have noticed is that morning television really is the growth time period for TV, especially local TV. Look at like WMAQ and all the local stations there. They start at like 4 a.m. now, and are doing 3 hours of morning television before we even start. You know, obviously, the Today Show franchise has expanded from 2 hours to now 4 hours. So, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, people are at their most vulnerable when they watch morning TV. And I think they welcome us into their homes when they're getting ready for work. They're doing all this stuff. But I think you've also seen, and no disrespect to Lester Holt or any of the folks who do the evening news, I think the morning news is now, in a way, the newscast of record, because people want to know in a concise way what happened when they went to bed. And we still, even though people check their phones, I think they turn to us not only because they know us, but because they get context. So I think the morning time period has taken on a bigger and bigger role.
Now, also, people are looking at Netflix or DVR programs at night now, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. And that's the one great thing about our show is that, you know, whereas everybody's watching when they want, you know, different entertainment shows, people tend to still watch the Today Show when it airs from 7 to 11 a.m. Now, they may not sit and watch the whole thing, but, you know, that's where they are. And so it's still one of those programs that are kind of like, I'm still always stunned when young people come up to me and go, oh, I watch you every morning, or I watch with my mom and dad. And that's a real, you know, people coming up to me and say, I've grown up watching you, which is a little depressing, but it's a great honor.
Yeah, it does feel good. WGN-TV does very well in the morning here. In fact, I don't know if Savannah is still with you right there, but you may want to tell her she can occasionally say, thank you very much, Larry and Robin, and, you know, who anchor the Channel 9 news in the morning, and that'll throw people off. It'll get people talking about the Today Show more.
It would, but it would also, unfortunately, tick off our friends at WMAQ, where we don't want to do that because they're one of our great owned and operated stations.
Sorry, I forgot about that. All right, let's go back in Al Roker history a little bit. You went to college with Jerry Seinfeld. Did he walk around back then saying, what's the deal with the school cafeteria? What was he like?
You know, it's interesting. He was very, I won't say serious, but he was really one of these people who took his craft seriously. And so he was always working on jokes and stuff like that. You know, he's just a terrific guy, you know.
And where was that again?
That was SUNY Oswego. You know, eventually he had to you know, he left after sophomore year because if he wanted to apply his craft, he needed to be near New York. And so, you know, he left after sophomore year, and I haven't heard. Do you know what became of him? Because I really lost track.
Well, we're trying to find out. We've got our Where Are They Now reporters on that. Al Roker's new book is called You Look So Much Better in Person, True Stories of Absurdity and Success. It's a great title. So is this book basically essays and life lessons, Al?
Yeah, just what I've, you know, working more than 40 years, I just, you know, decided to, you know, it's not a, like, oh, here's what you should do. It's just what, things that I've kind of learned, you know, working in this business. And, you know, it's stuff that I've learned, and hopefully it can help anybody picking it up and reading it.
I see you often on nightly news when there's a bad storm, and
yes.
This winter it seems like that's about every other night. Where do you find the time to do things like write a book when you're working mornings and nights some days?
You know, first of all, I've been working with a great co-author named Paula Vitale, who takes a lot of my ramblings and idiocy and kind of distills it down so that it makes some sense. But, you know, you find time. Like, you know, when I was, I fly a lot. So a lot of times I'm just working, you know, while I'm sick on the plane, instead of watching a bad movie, I can, you know, I can write a couple of chapters.
When you were a kid, did you always think I'd like to be in broadcasting?
I wanted to be in broadcasting. I didn't want to be on TV. I wanted to be a writer or a producer. I had zero intentions of ever being on television, nor did I even think I would be on TV.
And now when people run into you, outside of the weather, is what you get mostly questions about your colored glasses?
No, it's mostly about what time do you get up.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
And what time do you go to bed, which
yeah.
is kind of interesting,
yeah.
I think.
We get that here, too, a lot. Yeah.
I bet you do. The good news is for you guys is you don't have to wear makeup
mm-hmm.
or you know, get dressed up. I mean, I know you like to wear makeup.
When I'm off the air, that's right.
Exactly.
And I remember, you know, working years ago at Channel 2 here, and my desk in the mm-hmm. newsroom was next to John Coughlin's, who did weather here for many years. And,
oh, sure.
And
yeah.
I used to hear John sort of hanging up on people who were calling him, asking him weather questions. And I know for him, it really bugged him when everybody asked him about the weather. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know, I listen, this is not to mock anybody, but that's kind of our job. And if people are asking you that stuff, that means they watch you and obviously respect you. So, you know, I don't have a problem with it. My biggest problem is with my own family, because I will, you know, they'll ask me what the weather is, and my wife will say, well, you know, they say, and I'm like, well, what are you talking about? I'm they. Why are you? Well, then if you don't believe it, why are you even asking me? You know, but otherwise, I'm fine with folks doing that. That's, you know, that's it's when they don't ask or they stop asking that you're in trouble.
Yeah, you bet. Al Roker, he's plunging into the lake to help the Special Olympics athletes and the Polar
thank
Plunge.
Thank you for clarifying that.
It's the 20th anniversary of the Chicago Polar Plunge. And, of course, you can see Al on NBC5 here on the Today Show. Say hello to my old boss and yours now, Mr. Lack, there, will you, Al?
I sure will.
And always good catching up with you. I know you love food like we all do. You've done shows on food, and no better food than here in Chicago.
Chicago is just the food town. I love Chicago.
All right, well, come back again after you thaw out, okay, after Sunday.
All right, Bob.
It's 5 to 8. The news will be coming up at the top of the hour from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And then after that, we'll talk to Dean Richards, as we always do, and we'll get the entertainment stories of the day, including some information about supergroups who are now canceling concert tours because of the coronavirus. Also, coming up, we'll visit with a guy who has been part of the Ides of March, Survivor, 38 Special. Jim Peterick will join us in the studio. We'll talk about what he's got going on these days and hear a little bit of music, too. That's all coming right up here. And then the toast to Bob Collins on this day, which is the day he was born, right? February 28th.
Mm-hmm.
This is it.
Yes.
And Orion Samuelson will join Dave Ennett, and Mary will get involved. I'm sure Mr. Grzanich in the newsroom will join in. And this is a tradition, isn't it?
Today? It is a tradition. We toast Bob on his birthday every year. Spike started this years ago. And it's with Jack Daniels from the original bottle that was in Bob's office when he died and when Spike moved into the office. And there were only a couple things in the office. This was one of them.
And somewhere he's looking down and enjoying this and making fun of me because I'm a more of a root beer float man. And that's all coming up after the news. Coming up on 10 after 8, the tentacles of the coronavirus have now reached into the entertainment world. Dean Richards now with more on that. Good morning, Ooh, Dean.
You make it sound really notorious.
Sorry.
Tentacles.
Didn't want to scare you.
Ooh. Nobody wants to hear about tentacles.
Yeah. No, too early.
Two major concert tours in Asia have been canceled. BTS canceled their concerts that they had planned in South Korea. And Green Day also announced that they are canceling a whole series of concerts in Asia, in China, in Japan, in Korea. They are scheduled to go on a European tour in May, and they're not sure if they're going to do that right now.
Hmm.
Green Day really playing it safe. But, you know, now with this, and we told you earlier in the week about some movies that have been shut down, production of movies that have been shut down, including Mission Impossible 7 in Italy because of threat of the coronavirus. There have been the release of some new movies like Sonic the Hedgehog in certain Asian markets canceled because of coronavirus. So as Bob is exactly correct when he says the tentacles of this, because it's, you know, really beginning to reach into so many aspects that do affect us. You know, mm-hmm. thank goodness we don't have a major outbreak here yet, but it definitely is affecting things.
I'm sure concert promoters around the world are watching this very closely right now.
Yeah, everything is, you know, any place where there are mass gatherings of people,
yep.
There are concerns about it right now. Nothing here in the United States, nothing here in the Chicago area yet, but in certain parts of the world, very, very definitely, you know, we're starting to see this happen.
What movie looks good to you this weekend?
No question about it. The Invisible Man. I think it's one of the best movies of 2020, of the year so far. I really went into this skeptically because when they've tried to remake some of these classic movies, especially these, you know, the Universal horror movies from the 1930s, the Draculas, Frankensteins, Wolfman, and now Invisible Man, when they've gone to remake some of these, The Mummy, they've done a terrible job at it. But this Invisible Man is very definitely one of the best remakes of this genre. But Elizabeth Moss does such a good job in this movie. She is a woman who is the victim of domestic violence by her tech genius boyfriend. She literally escapes in the middle of the night from the house in which they live. He comes chasing after her. She goes into hiding, living every day in fear that she is going to be found. And then the word comes that the crazy ex-boyfriend has killed himself, that he's dead. He's no longer around. So she's breathing a little bit of a sigh of relief. But guess what? Some things start to happen that are unexplained, things that are happening that you cannot see. And as the story develops, it's very clear that, you know, the prospect of somebody becoming invisible, not being able to be seen and terrorizing somebody else is what's happening here. It would have been very easy to do a super predictable kind of storyline with this one that we've seen before. This movie does not do that at all. It's a very original, very up-to-date storyline. It's well produced. The special effects in here are great. Bob, you probably remember the original Invisible Man with Claude Rains.
You know what? Every time I see somebody wearing some thick sunglasses, I always make the joke, Claude Rains called, he wants those back. And of course, nobody knows what I'm talking about.
Right. The sunglasses and the like, the bandages around his head.
Will people like me who loved that movie and also the H.G. Wells novel be disappointed? Because this story is not anything like that.
Well, it's not exactly. I mean, it's a really high-tech take on the invisibility factor. But yes, you will like it because, this movie, it's a scary movie. It's a white knuckler. It's going to keep you on the edge of your seat for the whole time. Without being overly gory, it is rated R, but it's inventive and clever and scary, and I think you will enjoy it. I had to go back when I was writing the review for this. It's like it got the best of me. It's like I got to go back and watch the original 1938 movie. I was laughing my head off at the special effects and, you know, Claude Rains. Well, you know, with the special effects, it made it look like he's holding a gun and smoking a pipe.
Yeah, but pretty good for that time.
For 1938, amazing. But really funny to watch the effects now, you know, just to watch like a shirt bouncing around and in a scene.
I remember showing that to my kids, and they were frightened. I mean, the Claude Rains character, he turns very scary.
Yeah,
it's a good one. There's another movie.
This movie won't disappoint. I gave it a Dean's List A. Really liked it a lot.
Let's get another Friday movie review from Dean Richards. Dean?
Yeah, Invisible Man is the movie to see this weekend, but you gotta like scary movies, and if you don't, the alternative that's new, at least this weekend, is called Emma. It's an adaptation of the Jane Austen novel that stars a newcomer. If you watch the TV series The Witches, then you probably know Anya Taylor-Joy. The Witch, rather, is what it's called. But she plays the role of this sort of misfix-it who comes to everybody's aid. It's a, you know, I guess you would call it a Jane Austen comedic, a lighter piece. But if you like period pieces, if you like Jane Austen, I think you'll enjoy this. Not necessarily my cup of tea. So for me, I gave it a C+. But I know plenty of people who are, you know, way into the genre and way into Austen who probably will like it better than I did. So that's the other big choice for movies this weekend.
Sounds good. Earlier,
you know what I'm suggesting, and I kind of mean this seriously.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go to the movies, take along some of those Clorox wipes,
mm-hmm.
or the Purell wipes. I mean, movie theaters are kind of notoriously icky anyway.
Good idea.
But when I go, I wipe down the armrests. I wipe down the chair, the back of the chair where my head is hitting, and I do my best not to touch anything where you might accidentally, you know, scratch your eye or, you know, pass a virus. You know how you're like, sometimes you're sitting there and you're
sure,
you know, you might get some popcorn kernels out of your mouth or something like that. Gotta be careful out there now.
And a good idea, instead of getting the butter on the popcorn, ask for Purell.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to be on the safe side.
Yeah.
Earlier we talked to Steve Sanders. This is his last day at Channel 9. One of the good guys in our business, and we wish him the best. And I know you you know him well, Dean.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I've been here since 1991, and you know Steve has been here ever since then. And like you, Bob, you know, I was a radio guy who came to TV. I didn't know anything about TV. And guys like Steve, were patient and led by example of how to do television news, and nobody better than Steve Sanders. We're going to miss him tremendously, but so happy for him that he'll now have the options to do whatever he wants to do in retirement. They've got big doings planned for him today on the midday news, which will be his final newscast at from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today on WGN. So. Way to go, Steve.
Yeah, the camera doesn't lie, and even if you never had a chance to meet him, you just knew He was a great guy from watching him. Right. I told him to bring his guitar and play a song and go out that way, but I don't know if he's going to do that.
He's,
we'll see.
He's a fantastic musician. That would be the perfect way, and I'm honored that he has bequeathed me his Steve Sanders Anchorman hairpiece that he has worn all these years. So starting Monday.
Oh, that'll be a good look for you.
Starting Monday, I'm going to have that.
Yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't have a Beatle wig because he loves the Beatles.
He does that.
All right, well, let's get to the toast to Bob Collins now, and this would have been his 78th birthday today.
Unbelievable.
Dave Bennett standing by. Mary is in the traffic center, and Orion Samuelson is going to join us for this. Who wants to do the quick history of this toast?
Well, I'm holding the Jack Daniels bottle, and this
what
bottle
else is new.
All right, team. This bottle was in Bob's office when Spike, who began doing the morning show after Bob died, went into the office that became his office, and this was one of the few items in there. So Spike kept it and then decided on Bob's birthday every year, and maybe Orion had a role in deciding that also, but that we would toast Bob every year, and we've done it every year since with whiskey from this bottle, even though this isn't the original whiskey, because
you guys used it up.
We used it up,
we've added to the bottle. So I mean, like, original Bob DNA is, you know, part of that whiskey. I don't think the bottle's been ever.
It's never been completely empty. No,
but we've added to it, so it's, you know, it kind of, you know, is the great grandson of the original whiskey that was in there.
Didn't you dilute it once too, Dave? Didn't we do something?
No,
well,
we never did that.
We were,
I thought we did.
But Orion, as you remember, we were replenishing it. Yes. And when I went to Binny's and bought a fresh bottle, and then we had to figure out a way to siphon that whiskey into this bottle. And we used an upside-down birthday hat as a funnel.
Yes, we did, and it worked just fine. It didn't fall apart. It wasn't saturated, and it kept the tradition going.
Radio people manipulating their booze. Who would have thought?
Orion, this is a bittersweet moment for you every year, isn't it?
Well, it is, because remembering when Bob Collins came on the air the first time, my first reaction after hearing that southern cackle, first reaction was, oh my God, that's the end of WGN. Putting that after Wally Phillips, that wouldn't work at all. But when he died, we were the closest, he was my closest friend at WGN. So,
do you have your glass ready, everybody?
I do.
Okay. So,
and it's Jack Daniels. Yeah.
I've asked for just a little touch, and I'm smelling it. Are you sure this is Jack Daniels? I think this is actually paint remover from Lou Manfredini's hardware store.
It would do that job if you needed it.
All right, here we go. To Uncle Bobby.
Here's to Bobby.
Cheers.
Happy birthday.
Cheers, and we'll never forget him.
Wow.
Cheers.
Yeah. Wow. What happens to the bottle now, guys?
This, Dean, don't say anything. This stays in my desk.
You okay, Dave?
Yeah. Again, what a shock.
You know, I asked for just a little bitty touch here, but I'll drink this whole thing. You know, I'm a black cow and phosphate guy.
That's
but
good
let me
stuff.
Let me have
it'll
this.
Clean you out.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Whoa. Oh, man.
Oh, we should have videotaped that.
Oh, man.
You know how alcohol tastes when you're a kid and you taste your father's drink? That's how it still tastes to me. I don't do this very well. Well, it's going to be a fun final half hour of the show, though.
Yeah, it'll put hair on your chest.
Nothing like Jack Daniels in a Papa Nicholas cup.
We're classy drinkers on this show.
And after eating a banana. Ooh.
Well, I'm sure there'll be some refreshments for the Steve Sanders going away party over there, Dean.
I'm sure there are going to be some festivities at 1 o'clock when he's off the air, but this weekend there's also a big going away party for Steve where I think everybody can really cut loose. But we're going to miss Steve tremendously. And I'm like Orion, you know, I'm so bittersweet because I grew up listening to Bob and Orion and, you know, the whole gang, Wally, and then get to work with them and to get to know them. And now, for me, it's a great celebration whenever I hear a recording of Bob or something now. It just reminds me how he was one of the great broadcasters in America.
We played a clip from his last, which turned out to be his last broadcast. We did that last week. Yeah. And when you think about Bob, his 78th birthday today, he should have still been doing this. And he could have done it easily had he wanted to. Yep. And I could have been sleeping late. What more can
May
I say?
May we always remember that Southern cackle.
Oh, yeah,
great. It was so good.
For sure.
And a quick happy birthday to you, Dean, because
you.
We celebrate on the same day.
Orion and I have the same birthday. Oddly, somehow through the years, I've become 10 years older than Orion. counting
funny.
These years all. I don't know how that happened.
Funny how that happens.
Yeah.
All right, and that party for Dean will be at the Victory Auto Wreckers. Hope to see everybody there. Have a good weekend, Dean.
All right, have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you. We'll talk to you on Monday. It's coming up on 8:29 right now. And we'll talk to somebody who joins us after the news, who actually was part of the music scene from just about every era since the 70s. That's coming up right here at WGN. Good to have you aboard on this Friday, February 28th. Happy birthday, Bob Collins.
Inside my car, got pictures, got candy, I'm a lovable man. Take it to the nearest star. I'm your vehicle, baby. I'll take you anywhere you wanna go. I'm your vehicle, woman. My night, I'm sure you'll know that I love ya, I need ya, I want you, got to have your child. Great God in heaven, you know I love you.
That's the way we remember our rock and roll over the AM radio, right? It's Vehicle, The Ides of March, and Jim Peterik joins us in the studio. You ever get tired of hearing it, Jim?
Never, especially on AM, because that's the way I first heard it when WLS first played it back in 1970.
I know the story, but a lot of people don't know the story of this song and how you wrote it. Tell that. I love it. I love hearing that.
I mean, you have like 15 minutes, but I'll give you the cliff notes.
Take your time.
So I was dating this wonderful girl. She was 15. I was 17. It was a few years back. And suddenly she drops me, you know. Well, Jim, I really want to try dating other guys. And I said, oh, shoot, you know. And then about a few months later, she starts calling me out of the blue. Hi, Jim, this isn't a date, but I need a ride to modeling school. Okay. I'm figuring, well, I could be close to her, maybe get a kiss or something. So I take her to modeling school, Patricia Stevens in Oak Park. I wait for her for an hour and a half. She comes, you know, comes out, take her home, no kiss, no nothing. 2 weeks later, hey, Jim, that was really a lot of fun. I love your 1964 Valiant, you know.
Good car.
She still had it with the push-button drive. Anyway, she said, I would really like you to take me to modeling school again. And I took her, waited an hour and a half, no kiss, no hug, no nothing. Suddenly, I started getting really resentful, and I said to myself, all I am is your vehicle, baby. And I wrote this song, showed it to the band. It shot up to number one. Suddenly, I'm 19 years old, on the road with Led Zeppelin, Janis Joplin, The Grateful Dead,
that
Rhinoceros.
1970, right?
1970, the spring. And a few months later, guess who calls me back? Yep. Same girl. You know, Jim, maybe I was a little hasty. Maybe we should try dating again. And I let her hang there on the phone for at least 3 seconds.
I don't know. I don't know how expensive your date was, but you got your money back and then some.
I did. 47 years later, she's still my wife, and I'm still her vehicle, baby.
What would have happened if you had that purple hair when you were going to Morton West High School in Berwyn?
Oh, my God. They would have banned me. They would have, expel me. I mean, we couldn't have our hair long. We had to go for inspection every Monday morning. We'd go to Larry Mary's house and put like Brill cream on our hair, slick it back, tuck it in our collars, and go in front of the dean. Okay, and then we'd go back and towel off and. The purple hair, are you kidding me? Although there's nothing that says you can't have purple hair. It's just a given, you know?
Everybody knows Vehicle, but one of my favorite Ides of March records was actually the first one. You know this, Jim, because I've told you how much I dig this one. Here's a little bit of You Wouldn't Listen.
I told you he was a fool. You wouldn't listen to me. It'll break your heart. You wouldn't listen to me. So you better be smart. You wouldn't listen to me. You wouldn't.
That still holds up, doesn't it? It really does.
Oh, my God. You know, I was listening to you before I came on, and you said 70s, 80s, 90s. That was the 60s, man.
That was your first record, wasn't it?
1966, on the Parrot label. I was 14 when we recorded that song.
That is
amazing. And it sounds like
amazing.
I'm 14.
Oh, it's got that sort of 60s British invasion feel.
It really does. I mean, we were super influenced by the Beatles, of course. The first rehearsal we ever did, we were watching Ed Sullivan, seeing the Beatles going, we're the Berwyn Beatles. Okay, here we go.
Berwyn Beatles. Yeah. And this is the most amazing thing. All of you guys are still together. You still play gigs around. What's the secret to keeping a band together for, what is it, like
55 years.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, our newest album is Play On, 55 years of marital bliss, rock and roll bliss. You know, we respect each other. I think that's the thing. And we each have our categories. We always say if the country was run as well as the Ides of March, we would be okay. But we all have our position. Larry's the recording genius, and I'm hopefully the songwriter genius. Thank you very much. Bob is the numbers guy. Mike schedules the rehearsal. And Scott May is Scott May. He's just an amazing keyboard player. But I think it's the respect we have for each other and the fun we have.
Did you guys all meet in high school?
I've known Larry and Bob since third grade.
That's
incredible. I was in Cub Scouts with Bob together, Pack 64.
And now I feel like years away from the west side of Chicago. And there's a hole in my plane, something inside my brain needs to wave LA goodbye, LA goodbye.
Jim Peterick, The Ides of March, great song, LA Goodbye. And I think I know the story here, Jim, but this is all true, isn't it?
Yeah, there's a new audience every day. Vehicle was riding in number one, and suddenly we flew to LA. For a lot of us, it was the first time on an airplane. We did the Dick Clark show. We did the Mama Cash show. We played the Whiskey A Go-Go with Tony Joe White and Stephen Stills.
Wow.
Knocked him dead, you know. And we were there for about a week and a half. And we were on the plane going back, and we were kind of like, gee, it's sad to leave the palm trees and the beautiful girls in their halter tops. But we also missed our hood in Berwyn a little bit, and in a nostalgic mood. I think I wrote it on a barf bag. I wish I still had it.
Nice.
I wrote L.A. Goodbye. We worked it out. Number one in Chicago on LS for 5 weeks in a row. And it's still a beloved song, I'm happy to say, for a lot of the Chicago people.
You know, while that was playing, Jim played that guitar riff on his guitar, and it just gives me the chills to hear that. Give me a little bit of that. Yeah. Is that like your blankie? Is that why you walk around with that guitar?
Yeah, you know, I do. I'm like Linus with his blanket.
Jim Peterick, Ides of March, and you got a couple of shows coming up. We want to remind people about a few tickets left for the City Winery on, let's see, March 4th. Mm-hmm. That's coming up next week. And then you're going to be over at Ron Onesti's Club 210 on Saturday, March 14th up in Highwood.
Yep, that's I won't say a new club, but since Ron has taken it over, he's kind of made it cooler than ever. And I also wanted to say that at the City Winery, we have a special guest, Anthony Gomes, amazing award-winning blues rock guitarist that will set the night on fire. And he and I are writing a new album for his career right now.
Now let's move on to another part of your career that involves this, and I want to know exactly how it came to be that Jim Peterick writes the Rocky theme here. Eye of the Tiger, Survivor did when Jim actually helped put together that group, right?
Correct.
So you get a call from Sylvester Stallone, don't you?
I sure did. It was actually an answering machine message. You know, I pressed play and I heard, "Hey, yo, Jim, it's a nice answering machine you got there. Give me a call, it's Sylvester Stallone."
Do you think it was a joke?
I thought it was a gag. I really do. I mean, why is he calling me? No secretary, no nothing. But damn it, it's just like him, you know?
Well, let's listen to a little bit of this and get the rest of the story. All right, so once you find out it really is Sylvester Stallone, what happens?
You know, he said, "Look, I love your band Survivor." Okay, I won't do the Stallone bad imitation. "Love your band Survivor, and I just heard a song that Tony Scotti, your company president, played for me. It was called Poor Man's Son. That's the sound I want. Something street, something for the kids, something with a pulse, and something that's going to outlive you and me. Can you help me out?" I said, "No problem."
And this is the result.
Yeah. And he got together with Frankie.
Wow. And so that doesn't end the Jim Peterik story, though. You've got the Ides of March. You've got Survivor. And then tell me about 38 Special.
Well, right at the height of Survivor, I got a call from John Kolodner, who signed Survivor. New band called 38 Special, and we'd like to send them to Chicago and write some hits. And again, I couldn't wait to get started. First song we wrote around the kitchen table in LaGrange, Illinois, was a little thing called Hold On Loosely. And, well, we caught lightning in a bottle that day.
Look at you. And then you go all the way back, and Acura, Head & Shoulders, using Vehicle on commercials. You've got music all over the place. Going strong everywhere.
Well, that's the blessing of writing a song that connects with people. I call it the gift that keeps giving. And the real royalty for me, though, is the stories I hear from people. I know it sounds corny, but people that, you know, my songs have inspired, whether it's The Search Is Over or Vehicle. You know, we conceived little Bertha listening to Vehicle.
Sure.
You're
part of people's lives.
It was part of the fabric, and that's the real fun of it.
Congratulations on the honor. You're going into that Rock and Roll Hall of Fame at the new museum in Joliet. Good
yes.
for you.
Thank you. The 29th of March, there's going to be an induction ceremony. It's open to the public. It's going to be in the Joliet, Illinois Rock and Roll Hall of Fame Museum. And we're going to be performing a few songs along with, you know, Carl Jamarisi of the Buckinghams and other inductees. A huge honor. Huge honor. And I also wanted to mention we're going to be on WGN Morning News.
Oh, good for you.
Coming up this week, next week.
And you know what? It's great that you're still out there banging away, and you still have that the other group, too, going.
Well, you know,
what is it, World?
World Stage.
Yep.
That's my superstar review of, you know, every year it's a little different, but some of the greatest rock artists of the 80s join me on stage. It's always fun.
All right. Well, if you want to keep up with Jim Peterik, good luck. But you can online, right?
You sure can. JimPeterik.com, TheIdesOfMarch.com. And thanks, Bob. You're a classic. I love you, man. Ever since you hit Chicago, I said, "Now that's a clever guy in radio." Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. Jim Peterik, Ides of March, Survivor, 38 Special, and
Beach Boys.
Oh, right. You wrote the song that Brian Wilson recorded about the radio, didn't
that's
you?
That's why God made the radio.
Yeah.
That's why God made Bob Surratt.
Well, you know what? I want to be Jim Peterik, because really, Jim, I know you're still working hard, but all you have to do is go to the mailbox every day and see what check comes in from what composition.
Oh, man. I wish it was that easy.
We'll keep in touch with you, and I hope you do the same with us, Jim.
Will do. Thanks for the opportunity of coming on your show.
Always great to be with you. The news is coming up in just a couple minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. We'll also talk to John Williams, find out what he's got going on today. And we got a couple minutes here so I can catch up on some texts we got. We were talking yesterday a lot about streaming and streaming services. And what did we hear from you on that from 847? Since the cable companies are the primary provider of internet service, how do you cut the cord? Well, you know, there's cable and internet. They're separate. You can cut that cord and not cut the internet cord, I imagine. From 773, even if all the streaming services wind up costing close to cable, the freedom of being able to cancel and switch at any time, plus no hardware or techs, make it worth it. Another one from 847, calling cable a scam. We were told at the beginning there would be no commercials because you paid a monthly fee. Guess not. And this is what I wondered about from 773. If you don't have cable, how do you get CNN, MSNBC, and other news channels? Well, I guess you can go online and get those. Also from that area code. Cut the cord years ago. The only thing I miss is the availability of live sports on streaming without paying a premium. Speaking of that, we've been talking about this today. I guess YouTube now is not carrying Marquee, right, Dave? That's the latest
word, yeah. So they picked up, I want to say it's WOW, one of the local cable carriers.
WOW.
This week, but yeah, YouTube is apparently not.
Yeah,
you kind of need a scorecard to keep track of who is in it.
Yeah, here it is. YouTube TV announced that it will drop the Fox Regional Sports Networks, now owned by Sinclair, after the sides failed to reach a carriage agreement. Also being dropped is YES, of which Sinclair is part owner. That means Marquee, of which Sinclair is a partner, is at risk of not being carried by the streaming service. So there's your update. Change your scorecard occasionally and do it now. Here's John Williams. Hey, John.
All the White Sox games will be broadcast on WGN Radio.
You know what else? I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't know this. All of those Sox spring training games are at WhiteSox.com, and our old friend Rich King is announcing those games along with someone by the name of Russ Langer.
Yes, Russ Langer does minor league ball, I think, for the Dodgers. Does their AAA club. It's very good.
So that's online. You can find it, right? All right, John. What are you looking for today?
Going to watch the market go into the toilet, so stick around, everybody. We'll keep you posted on... Sorry, Dave. I'm going
to... Good morning to you, John.
Hey, this is supposed to be, tell us something nice day for
it
you.
It is. Friday, we will do the bright side at the end of the show, but we'll keep you posted on the real world in the meantime. That's coming up after the news. Oh, boy. Keep listening.
Good luck with that.
Can we do this segment over again?
Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Please have yourself a terrific weekend. We'll talk to you Monday.